How do driven entrepreneurs like you and me, who want to play the game of life at our full potential, actually do that so that we net seven figures a year and experience the overall exceptional life? It's all about leveraging our most valuable asset, our brain. But how do we train our brain to actually rewire our autopilot so that all of the right actions and focus happens automatically without thinking, as we create the exceptional life in business, health, and our significant other relationships? These are the questions, and this is the podcast that answers them. This is where your net seven figures a year freedom begins. So welcome. We are thrilled that you're joining John and I today. John?
Hey, I am thrilled as well. This is going to be really fun.
Absolutely. And what we thought we'd do today is share John's story. So kind of the origin story of where Think It Be It and this methodology and how it came to be. And so let's start at the beginning, John, and not the beginning. Like
there's no sense about telling when I was a baby. There's no value there.
Exactly. Let's start where it makes sense to start. So I'll throw that off to you. So how did this, let's start with your entrepreneurial journey and kind of like where you started as an entrepreneur and what led you to kind of where we are today and Think It Be It.
So I started out as a CPA, and by the time I got to be probably 28, I'm like, boy, I do not want to be an accountant all my life. It was probably a good place to start. Like my dad told me, he says, accounting is the language of business. And what do you know when you're 20 years old? So I start off as a CPA. But
well, no offense to any CPAs out listening.
Right. We don't want to offend you CPAs, but I didn't want to be one. And so I launched into being an entrepreneur when I was 30. And throughout my 30s and 40s, I was in like seven different businesses. And I was in, started out in real estate development around a tax idea. That launched me as an entrepreneur. I owned a bank. There were 20 of us that owned the bank, but two of us were the main guys. That was interesting. Got into, I owned a restaurant, which was voted most romantic restaurant in Dallas, which was pretty cool. Especially being single, that certainly helped in the begging process. And then I got into even children's books. I was in the automotive industry, but all told, I think I was in seven businesses by the time I reached 50. And I just wasn't as successful as I thought I should be. And as I look back on, that my 30s and 40s, I just saw this disconnect between my efforts and my results. And, I worked harder than all my friends. And that made me sort of feel like I deserved more success than I was getting. And all I had was the average life. And I got to say, I hated the average life because I just knew I had so much more and I could achieve so much more. But why couldn't I get that traction? Why wasn't I further along? And I was single. I'd never been married at 50. And, candidly, I was lonely. Not that I had a shortage of dates, but I just felt lonely. Why wasn't my life further along? I would look back on being an entrepreneur, and oftentimes I was really frustrated with employees because they didn't care about it as much as I did. Of course, they didn't. I didn't know how to overcome that sort of conceptual issue. I wasn't as disciplined as I wanted to be. And so bottom line, I felt this disconnect between my efforts and my results. And when I turned 50, I'm like, I got to fix this. You know, the scarcity of time was coming in on me, and I just knew I had to fix it. And you know, I had two goals in my life. One was to make enough money so I didn't have to work. And the other was to find the woman of my dreams. And so I'm falling short on both of them. And so, you know, on the money, I always did okay. I was always making net $200,000, $300,000 a year. But, you know, Kelly, when I turned 50, I just did the math and I saw I had to start netting over $1 million a year. And I know that sounds materialistic, but I saw that that's what it took really to create freedom, you know, real freedom. Now, I didn't need the second home in Aspen. I didn't need the jet, any of that stuff. But I needed freedom. And yes, I wanted a really nice house, but you know, all I really wanted was freedom to do what I wanted to do each day. And I wanted a nice lifestyle, not a really nice home. So that's sort of where I was. But I'm like, well, how do I change this 20-year history of low six figures a year? And so one night, and this is probably 3 months after I turned 50, a pearl of wisdom comes to me. And it's, you know, find the top book in the world on success and apply that book literally word for word to my life. And so I'm thinking, you know, pretty good idea, right? And so I immediately get up. I remember, you know, laying in bed and coming up with that idea. And immediately I go to my computer and I start doing the research and I discover something that totally surprised me, that there's one book on success that has been read by 100 million people. And the next best selling book on success has been read by less than 10 million people. And that book is Think and Grow Rich. And so I'm like, well, here we go. This is exactly what I need. This is what I've been looking for. I can't believe there's one book that's above all the rest like this. This is perfect. And so the next day I'm like a heat-seeking missile to the bookstore and I get the book and I read the book. And then, Kelly, I discover the problem. The book says there's a secret for success, but the author only gives you half of the secret. It's on the reader to figure out the other half. Well, I'm bummed out. I mope around for probably 2 or 3 weeks. And then one day I just wake up and I go, John, just man up and figure out the full secret. Just, you know, man up and do that. And so over the next 2 months, I immerse myself in the book. And over that 2 months, I come up with what the full secret was and a 12-minute a day technique to apply it. And so I start applying it to a new business. I started in the reverse mortgage business. And quickly, my income starts doubling and doubling to where 4 years later, I was netting $5 million a year, which was 25 times what I'd ever made in the prior 20 years. And of course, I felt so blessed. And Kelly, this is what was really cool. I could see why it was happening. I had rewired my autopilot. And the effect of that was I was focused only on what moves the needle. I had tripled my discipline. And I had new ideas coming in my head consistently every week that just weren't coming in before. And the cool thing was, this was all happening automatically. And it was also cool that I was controlling my health and ultimately impacting my marriage at the very same time that I was impacting my income. It was sort of the trifecta of your life, your income, health, and marriage all being affected at the same time and all of the right actions happening automatically. And it truly felt like a superpower. I could tell I was playing the game of life at a much higher level. And maybe the coolest thing of all was I had just this immense control over my life. As we teach more of our methodology, you'll understand why that is. But the essence of it is you're feeding immense clarity about your life to yourself, and it gives you this immense sense of control to a level I'd never experienced before. So sort of wrap this up, you know, I just became fascinated by the fact that you could take two key scientific principles and apply them to your life and so materially impact your success and achievement in life. And so, you know, as I got enough money so I didn't have to work, I wanted to share this with the world. And so I sold my company, and probably a couple of months after I sold the company, I meet the former chancellor and president at the University of Texas. And I tell him my story, and he says, "Hey, you got to teach this at the University of Texas, and why don't we teach it together?" And so, and this is like, I guess, 9 years ago now. And so that started Think It Be It, the company around this idea. And then something life-altering happened about 4 years ago. I met you.
Oh.
And so, you know, that truly was life-altering. And so that is my story.
Oh, I adore you. I love your story. There's a couple of things that I want to point out and just dig a little bit deeper on, which is, you know, when you're talking about discipline, for example, tripling your discipline, you know, one of the things that I think is what do you mean by that? When you say discipline, you know, what is discipline, you know, and how does this, you know, impact that, you know, because I know for me, you know, one of the issues is with anything in life, not just being an entrepreneur, but is doing things consistently, you know, to begin the right things consistently to begin to get the outcome that you're looking for. So what is discipline in the first place?
Well, let me back up just a little bit. You know, the thing I realized was that at the end of the day, your success comes down to the cumulative effect of your daily actions, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think everybody grasps that. And what was so powerful was that I learned basically from reading Think and Grow Rich that 95% of your daily actions are unconscious. And so that's why those daily actions, having the discipline to do the right things on a consistent basis, that escaped me, because again, 95% of your daily actions are unconscious. Therefore, I didn't consciously have control of doing the key things that would move my success up in my career. And you know, I saw that, and I guess I learned this once I started netting seven figures a year. I discovered there were seven key habits that had to happen consistently to earn that type of money. And through this methodology, I could make those habits happen automatically without thinking. And that's why it truly felt like a superpower.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think the discipline, what I find fascinating about this too, is really all that is just remembering what's important and why, you know, and that's exactly what this methodology, that 12 minutes, you know, a day does. And so that's, I love that aspect of it. And one other thing I wanted to point out, and I know we've talked about this offline, what's fascinating about the book, Think and Grow Rich, you know, and that it's the you know, highest selling book on success by a factor of 10, you know, you'd think that there would be more. Well, I've read it a few times. You know what I mean? Prior to connecting with you and learning this methodology, I was missing some pieces. I know many of my colleagues, you know, had read it multiple times. So what I love about this and your story is you're like, I'm going to get to the essence of this and understand what this full, you know, secret is, and then develop this application for it. And that's the difference maker. I always thought, well, why aren't there more millionaires if so many people have read this book? Well, it was the disconnect, I think, and you figured out the solution.
Well, and you know, a couple of things on that. First of all, the problem is that the author only gives you half of the secret. And yes, 100 million people have read it, but 100 million people only know half of the secret. And and here's the other thing that's interesting. This is a little backstory of when I turned 50, and let me be vulnerable for a moment. So when I was turning 50, in addition to feeling, you know, that scarcity of time from that decade birthday, my mom was dying from pancreatic cancer. And I remember going to the hospital every day. She was in the hospital probably 8 weeks. And so every day after work, I'd go and I'd see her and I'd spend a couple of hours with her. And then I'd leave and I'd walk out of the hospital and I would go out into that cold, dark parking lot. And I would get in my car and just cry my eyes out. I mean, every night, you know, this is going on for, like I said, probably 8 weeks, every night crying my eyes out. And what was going on was a couple of things. First of all, I was feeling the loss of my mom that was clearly coming. And, you know, it was particularly painful because my mom and dad gave me everything they possibly could. They sent me to Jesuit High School in Dallas when they really couldn't afford it. You know, it just made me realize that I wasn't making the most of my life. I had had all the advantages, but all I had was an average life. And I hated the average life because I just knew I was capable of so much more, but I just couldn't get that traction. And I just felt like I was letting her down. I wasn't doing anything to make the world a better place. Again, just an average life. And so now I look back on it and I realize that pain that I felt from losing my mom, coupled with letting her down, was the fuel that caused me to go deeper into thinking grow rich than any other person on the planet. And, you know, I see that and appreciate it because, you know, I read the book when I was 41, but it didn't change my life. But that's because I didn't have the rocket fuel to go deep enough to figure out the full secret. And one of the things that makes me proud today is that now you and I teach this at my mom's alma mater. So, you know, it's pretty cool.
It's the best. Cool. I love that. You know, John, as we wrap up, share, like, what are your top kind of takeaways where you feel like, you know, anybody listening, you know, if you're to take away anything from your story, I'd love for you to walk away with these ideas.
Well, you know, I think there's really three takeaways. See, the first one, and this is the most significant thing I ever learned, is that 95% of your daily actions are unconscious. And, you know, I see in teaching this that people will get that intellectually. It's not hard for people to get that. And you know, we live in this world where, you know, you don't know what is a true fact or not. And so, as you know, when we work with people, we make them literally Google it. And it'll say right there in big dark letters, 95% of your daily actions are unconscious. But it's one thing to get it intellectually, and it's another to really understand the implication to your life. And that's what sort of is the first takeaway, is that when you see that your success in life is the cumulative effect of your daily actions, and that 95% of them are unconscious, then it's easy to see that the only way you can have a higher level of success is to influence those unconscious daily actions. I mean, it's pure math.
Yep.
And that requires rewiring the autopilot. And that's what this methodology is about. So that probably is the first lesson. And maybe the second one is that, you know, this is all about playing at your full potential. And I know when I was in my 30s and 40s, I just intuitively felt like I was playing at about 20% of my potential. I just felt that. And so many of our clients have expressed that too. And I can so relate to it. I think one of the things I found was interesting is of course, at first, it was pretty much all about the money. I wanted to get that money so I could have freedom. But as money became less of an issue, what I saw was the most cool thing about all this is playing the game of life at my full potential. And I saw that I really had an identity shift where, you know, I'm playing the game of life, feeling this disconnect in my 30s and 40s with between my efforts, my results, and then shifting to this new way of doing life where I'm playing at my full potential and where you can literally feel that difference of playing at 100% versus 20%. And the identity shift was that, hey, I control my autopilot rather than my autopilot controlling me. Does that make sense?
Oh, 100% resonates. Yep.
Right, right. And maybe the last takeaway is that, boy, life is precious. It is so precious. And I'll tell you a quick story. I just became a grandfather not too long ago. And I'm over at, with Ginger over at Hannah's house the day after this baby boy was born. And so they give me this little boy and I'm holding him in my hands and they walk away and I'm just holding him and I'm looking at him and tears start coming down my face. And I'm like, boy, life is precious. Boy, life is so precious. And he's going to live for 100 years. And the success of his life is going to come down to actually taking control of his life and making it what he wants of it and controlling his daily mindset. And, you know, I share that story because really the lesson is that life is precious. And if your life isn't what you want it to be, you got to step up and change what you're doing. You because you can't keep on doing the same thing because you're going to keep on getting the same results. And what I discovered is this is a whole new way of playing the game of life, way different than the way everybody else is doing it. I think if you feel that scarcity of time, especially, you got to make life what you want it because it is so precious.
I love that, John.
Hey, thanks for listening today. As we said, as we introduce this private podcast to you, there's a short assignment after each episode. And for you to get the most out of these podcasts, you need to do the assignments. We're all about teaching people the concept of proactively influencing the subconscious mind. Something, hey, I dare say you've never done before, right? And by doing the assignment, after you listen to each episode, it will create self-discovery within you. And that will have a serious impact on your subconscious mind. So here's the assignment today. What's the most profound thing you've learned in your life to this point? Think about that. What's the most profound thing you've learned in your life to this point? Send me an email at john@thinkitbeit.com. Start the process of proactively influencing your subconscious mind. Watch what happens.
Thanks for listening today. If you've had your own aha moment from today's episode, send me or John an email. We'd love to share your epiphany with our audience. So email us at kelly@thinkitbeit.com or john@thinkitbeit.com. In the meantime, live the exceptional life.